Well, I don't know about you, but I found myself wanting to sing along on that one. Messiah, a baby born to save us all. Really, isn't that the story we've been hearing? And we have been singing along all afternoon to this point. But you know, there's at least one classic song that we have not gotten to yet. And my whole life, I don't think we've ever sung it in church on Christmas Eve. But I bet you know it. And there's no sacrilege if you sing along with me. Are you ready? Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Now it's your part. Ready?
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake.
Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus, oh yeah, is coming to town. See, we all knew that, so we didn't even need that last slide, right? I knew you knew that. And that's probably the last time we're ever going to sing that one in church. But when I was a kid, I took that song seriously. I mean, this was before Siri and Google and Alexa were listening in on our conversations. But Santa was. And you know, he sees us when we're sleeping, and he knows when we're awake. And more importantly, he knows if we've been bad or good, so you better be good, for goodness sakes. Because I always thought, if we weren't good, he'd probably pack us off to some coal mine someplace where we'd have to work for the rest of our lives. But it's a cute song, and it's a great parental control device, especially coming on Christmas. But there's a problem here as well. And I'm afraid it is that some people think this description of Santa's behavior applies to God. Only way more severe, because he's watching up from some cloud, ready to strike down anyone who's not behaving. But that is a really unfortunate way to think about God. Not that he doesn't care about how we live, because I truly believe he does care, but we've got to see this right. And Christmas helps, I think, us understand how a righteous and loving God isn't meting out judgment upon us, but rather, he's extending life and hope to everyone that Jesus, the Messiah, was born to save. And that's you and me. And to grasp that, we need to hold on to one particular word, and that word is grace, which is not just a woman's name, and it isn't just the period of time between when you get the visa bill and when you got to pay it. And neither is grace just a prayer that you say before Christmas dinner or any other dinner. Real grace is what happens when you have been offered a gift that you didn't deserve. A gift that is truly, no strings attached, a gift that is truly free. And the most important way for us to understand grace is that it is the undeserved favor of God. The undeserved favor of God. That's even in the dictionary. You can look it up and check it out. God's undeserved favor is exactly what we experience when we appreciate and accept what Jesus came into the world to do in the first place. His birth, his teaching, his healing, and especially his death on the cross are all acts of grace. And when we accept these as gifts, they are the very things that have the power to release us from bondage to sin and to selfishness. And Jesus' resurrection then, after his death, proves that God is all-powerful and will never leave us without hope. That's what grace is all about. And it's undeserved because there's nothing we can do to earn it. It is a free gift. We can do nothing to earn God's favor. He doesn't play that kind of game. And you know, when God favors you, what it means is He really loves you. He really loves you. In fact, He genuinely loves you before you even may have loved Him in return. Now, I know this story may seem fantastical, but it is absolutely life-giving, and it has made all the difference in my life and for billions of people throughout the generations. Back in the first century, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to a friend of his, a man named Titus, who at the time was starting a brand new Christian church on the island of Crete in the Mediterranean Sea. And in the letter, Paul reminds Titus what grace is all about. And in the New Living Translation, in Titus 2, chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, he says this. He starts off saying, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people." So grace as an offer to save anyone who will turn to Him in faith. And here's where it then leads. Paul goes on and he says, "So then we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that day, that wonderful day when the glory of our great God, our and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed." So look at that. See what happens here. Jesus comes to earth as a baby, grows up, teaches us, dies on the cross, and that is the reality of what we know now. But we also live with an aspect of something that is not yet, that has not quite yet happened, and that is the full realization. We've been talking about this here at Excelsior for the whole season of Advent. The full realization of God's mission on earth is still yet to come, because the cross defeated sin and death, but then He is going to come back again on what it says there as that great and wonderful day when His glory is revealed. So we live in this tension, this beautiful tension of what we know now and what is yet to come, what is not yet. But God can be trusted because He's a God of integrity. There's no way this kind of a fantastical story is just some big spiritual hoax invented to make us feel good about ourselves. And the heart of the Christian faith is more than just having a high moral ethic of justice, as important as that is. There's something even more at stake here. Because the heart of Christian faith is a God sending Jesus to offer salvation and hope to anyone who will receive Him. And that's where grace becomes real. Paul goes on then in the next part of the passage, and he says, Jesus gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. So do you see how the sequence works out? Who we live in a world that's full of evil, that threatens to wrap our lives around the axis of life sometimes. But when we accept God's grace, He sets us free and cleanses our lives from sin, and He makes us to be a people of His very own. And then we actually join Him in making a difference for good in the world. So I want to suggest this is the amazing plot twist of Christmas that a lot of people miss, and I don't think most people expect. It's not you better watch out, you better not cry. And it's not an angry God ready to zap you when you do wrong. That's not what it's about. Instead, it's God who comes into this world as a human baby. Beautiful and frail. This is actually my great niece, Nora, who lives in Alaska. She came to visit last month, wrapped in swaddling clothes. But we're thinking about the baby Jesus, aren't we? Baby Jesus, who embodies God's grace. The irony is that God would even choose to share such a gift with us, a bunch of willful and sinful human beings, that he'd actually trust us with a gift so precious. Can you imagine God knowing who we really are, essentially holding out his child for us to embrace? That he would trust us, holding out his child for us to accept into our affection and into our hearts. That must take incredible faith on God's part, to entrust such a gift to us, and yet he does, which is why grace is so amazing. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Zap! He came to save the world through Jesus Christ. Are you living with that kind of hope tonight? Because when we accept Jesus for who he is, as God's most amazing expression of grace, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's when our lives find true meaning and joy. And I pray that for every one of us this Christmas. There's another song, not on the ridiculous side, but on the sublime side. There's another song that we haven't sung yet that celebrates this incredible possibility. You may know it well. It talks about finding our true life. I'm just going to sing a verse, but you can sing with me if you will. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Let's pray together. Oh God, thank you for this amazing grace that is more than just a story, but it's the reality of your love made tangible from the birth of Jesus through to the cross, where grace can now take root in our lives. This afternoon we celebrate that you have loved the world so much, and everyone in it so much, that you would come in the flesh to make that love real to us. God, for those struggling with this, I pray that by your Holy Spirit we will all experience the warm and inexplicable peace that only your love can bring. That it'll overwhelm each and every one of us, and some might even mark this Christmas as when we opened our heart to you for the first time, to receive you on your terms, the terms of gracious and undeserved favor. Thank you for loving us that much. We love you too, and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believe. And all God's people said, Amen.